Hi, everyone. This is Eric Martin, the lead singer for the band Mr. Big, and you are on the road to rock with Clint Switzer.
Thank you so much, man. I love talking about the things that I love, Clint, and for you to allow me to do it with you. God bless you. God bless the Heartland. God bless America.
You are now on the road to rock. It's not just a podcast. It's an unabashed celebration of rock's living legends. And now, please welcome your host, the master of your rock and roll road trip, leading you down the highway to hell, Clint Switzer.
Today on the road to rock, I'm going to be joined by talented bassist and charismatic frontman Marco Mendoza as he discusses his new solo album, New Direction, that was released September 16th via Mighty Music. You can go to his website, marcomendoza.com, to purchase the new tremendous album and watch for Marco on tour all throughout Europe here in September and October. He's actually joining us from Bucharest. So this is an interview that it's been a while in the making. Had Marco on a few years ago, I think, to promote something the Dead Daisies were doing. No longer a part of the Daisies. Marco is out on his own with the solo venture, of course, known for his work with Thin Lizzy, Whitesnake, Journey, Ted Nugent, and the Dead Daisies, as I mentioned. Just to name a few, the Los Angeles native has recorded a body of amazing music in his own right, featuring the uplifting and life-affirming singles Shoot for the Stars and Take It to the Limit. The collection of 10 lovingly crafted and honed songs promises to be a very special beast of his own. We're going to get into so much of Marco's work, what the genesis of this album was, putting together this tour, how it's doing, how he's doing over in Europe, and of course, working with a guy like Ted Nugent. I remember sort of knowing about Marco Mendoza when he was the bassist for Ted Nugent, and they had Tommy Aldridge on drums. Just what a tremendous rhythm section that was. And I believe later in his tenure, Tommy Clufados was on drums as well. So I remember getting the full Blundell Nugity album and just being blown away. The backing vocals, I think Marco saying, "Hey, baby," on that album, and just being showcased as this bassist, but also as a tremendous vocalist. So we're going to talk about Ted Nugent, who's been on this show in the past. We're going to get into all that, and of course, the new album here, and I hope every single one of you are getting ready for a tremendous weekend. It is technically, the second weekend of fall, but it seems like it's been fall for a couple weeks now. When college football starts, the NFL gets going, it feels like fall. Actually, it's felt like summer more often than not, weather-wise. Last weekend, I was at the Louder Than Life Festival in Louisville, Kentucky on Saturday. Kiss, Alice Cooper, Rob Zombie, Seven Dust was there that day. And 3 Days Grace was there that day. Just what a tremendous festival that is. That's my first time attending Louder Than Life. And high marks for me. To me, it gets no better, as that is probably taken over as the top rock festival in America. I think Louder Than Life does a tremendous. I think Aftershocks is a great festival. I've been to Rocklahoma many times. Louder Than Life, that trio of Kiss, Alice Cooper, Rob Zombie, man, that was tremendous. And there were over 70,000 people there on that Saturday, which is just unbelievable and a true testament to the appetite that this music and these bands still command. So what a great effort that was, and a great trip. I really enjoyed my time there in Louisville. So the concert season, I would say it's slowing down a little bit, but we've got Wasp coming up here in not too long. I'm going to go check out Wednesday 13 on this tour coming up here. So there's still a lot going on here this fall. Might even catch another Alice Cooper show on this tour. It's so great to see him back with Kane Roberts, and they're playing a lot more of the 80s stuff. They did Freedom from Raise Your Fist and Yell, and Bed of Nails, and I think on the rest of the tour they're doing songs like He's Back, The Man Behind the Mask, which is from my favorite Alice, I don't know about my favorite. It's my most nostalgic Alice Cooper album, Constrictor from 1986. The songs from Jason Live On, sort of catapulted me into rock music as it was in 1986 when that came out. I was just a very, very small child, but the memories last a lifetime, and I'm still a giant Alice Cooper fan because of that movie and that album. So great stuff. Without further ado, I want to take you to this week's interview. It is with none other than bassist, vocalist, rocker, Marco Mendoza. You were just in Romania, so where are you today? What's going on?
I am in Romania.
You're still there, okay.
I'm in Bucharest. And yeah. But let's just say Wi-Fi is pretty compromised here, depending on the buildings and the hotel and all that.
That is understandable. You're also like 7 hours ahead of us here. We did the best we could to get this all figured out, but we're here now. That's all that matters. Yeah. And it's so glad to have you here on the Road to Rock. It's been a while, so long, in fact, that the podcast was called something else, Music Mania, last time you were here. So welcome to On the Road to Rock. You are literally on the road to rock over in Europe in the middle of a big European tour. How's it been going so far, my friend?
It's been good, man. I mean, you know, needless to say, there's been some roadblocks, some obstacles along the way, if you will. But that was to be expected. I mean, when I decided to do this run, it started in the UK. The first dates that I booked were based on the one-off. I was doing a bass guitar show in Liverpool that was booked back in 20, right?
Right.
So when it didn't happen 21, 22, I got an email saying, it looks like it's happening in April. Are you still in? You still want to be part of it? I said, absolutely. So we confirmed that. And then I said, well, I'm going to fly all the way from LA to England, to the UK. Let's get some feelers out and let's do some dates. And that turned into 10 dates. When we announced the dates in March or the end of February, boom, you know, Spain came in, France came in, Holland, Belgium, and the tour that was supposed to be, you know, 10 dates turned into a ton of them.
And, amazing.
And we're still adding and changing. But to say the least, because we're still feeling, you know, the pandemic.
Sure.
In a lot of ways. So we've had some shows kind of get pulled out and rescheduled. So that creates a little bit of confusion, traveling and all that. But I got to say, all in all, because I'm out here, and I think the label paid attention, they said, we need to release this album. And it got released December 16th. Oh, look, it's starting to rain. So September 16th, the album came out. We're getting on the charts. I'm working, you know, 3, 4, 5 shows a week. Sometimes more, and traveling more than ever. So I'm digging it, man. I mean, I'm here. I'm a little beat up, but that was to be expected. It's just not easy what we do, you know.
It's not, but you know, you're talking about the album, which is just tremendous, and I love what you've done.
Thank you, Chris.
With the album, I think it's you know, especially the way that you release, you know, the singles. I think "Shoot for the Stars" is just seems to be a culmination of your vision, your artistic vision, and you know, the things that you've worked on so many projects before. It seems like that you finally kind of found your groove here in this solo album. What was the impetus for this album? Obviously, was this sort of a pandemic based project you started working on?
No, I mean, it turned out to be that, but we started, the story is this. When Viva La Rock came out in February of 18, I was with a band called Dead Daisies.
Yes.
That album came out, Burn It Down, came out in April, 2 months later, and it just killed. It did so well in the market that my album, my little tiny little solo little album, got squashed and put aside, which is what happens, because I was part of this bigger entity. And so as we started getting breaks between the Dead Daisies dates, I started getting invited. Can you come and play here? You know, we love your album. Can you come and play here? So let's just say I did 20 something shows in 18 while I was with the Daisies. That set me up for 19 to book a lot of shows. Now, the Daisies were going through some changes. John decided to pull out, John Karabi.
Yep.
And so that gave us, that kind of put a, it stopped the wheel turning with the Daisies. So management, I talked to them and they said, yeah, absolutely. Go out there, promote your album, book some dates and the whole thing. Long story short, they ended up finding Glenn Hughes, who was a bass player, singing.
Tremendous. Player,
amazing. A big fan. I'm a big fan and a friend. And so they moved on. And what happened is between February and September, October of 19, I ended up doing so many dates that I got invited to a lot of festivals in 20. So the label said, we love the first album. You did so well. Let's take the second, you know, the second option. because we have in a contract, if we both parties agree, we're going to do a second album. So they said, please take it. And I said, yes, I'll do it. So we started working on the second album, September of 19, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So, you know what happened? We know what happened in 20. We didn't finish. Yeah. We started. And this album was supposed to come out in spring or summer of 20. And here we are in 22. Finally came out a week ago. And I couldn't be happier, man, with the results. So needless to say, that's another interview. What happened logistically, trying right. to fly in and out. And it's just ridiculous the amount of work that went into that. But the results, like you say, the results are good. We are getting a lot of love and a lot of kudos, and people are digging it. So I'm happy. There's always, I really believe in this, Clint. There's always a reason why things happen the way they do.
Yeah.
We don't know how or why, but there's a bigger picture. And now I'm starting to understand why. The fact that the pandemic hit and we are out here at the beginning of coming out of that dark place.
Yes.
It's working. It's working for me. I think it's working for the album. It's working in so many ways. So there you go, man. I mean, it's like, you know, we're here.
I do feel it. It's almost a tangible feeling, especially this summer. Lots more shows that I went to personally, and it just seemed a lot more like it. And it's great that you're out there. And I just hope that this tour goes well, because the album deserves that, man.
Thank you, brother. You
know, like Take It to the Limit came out. Then you did the Shoot for the Stars lyric video, man. What those two singles seem to really kind of catapult this thing. That was the impetus, because those videos were great. And the songs, it's so straightforward, melodic, hard rock, you know, your voice gets showcased with it, which I think is great. A lot of people don't realize, you know, what a great voice you have. It's like Dean Castronovo, man. Like a guy like that plays drums his whole career. And it's like, oh my God, he's in a band like Revolution Saints and he's singing leads over Jack Blades, man. Like he's that good.
Yeah.
And that, I kind of liken you to someone like that. And you're really getting to flex that muscle, man. That's got to be a great feeling.
It is. And I think, like you say, the focus is the singing part, you know, people know me from all the other bands as a bass player, as a background singer kind of cat. But I'll say this, I've always had a side project as a lead singer. Maybe it wasn't rock and roll, it was funk, it was jazz, it was this or that, but I've always wanted to sing. I'm not technically trained. I don't have the chops that a lot of people have, but I love to sing and I love fronting my band. I'm really enjoying it so much that I want to do more and more and more. Obviously, the more successful it gets, the more I get to do it. So I'm doing everything I can on my end to bring it up to the next level, whatever that next level is. You know, we don't know these days, but
it's paid off. I think it's weird because I think the first time I really paid attention or realized what kind of voice you have was, I think it was the full Blennell Nugity DVD that I had. Mm. There was a bunch of different live takes, a bunch of different live songs. I think you guys did like a Fred Bear version, like around a campfire. And like, you had some really hot, like, and I was just like, just blown away by it. So do you look back to that time that you played with Ted Nugent as like a time where you were able to kind of, because I mean, it's a three piece, band.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of backing vocals involved. Right. So
what
was that time like for you?
Absolutely. I want to say that was a showcase for me. And this is why Ted Nugent is the coolest cat on the planet. And he's misunderstood, but
right,
that's all I'm going to say. That's fine.
I'm with
you. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. I think he carries a great message and we should listen. Maybe, the process and how he delivers a message could be refined a little bit, whatever. But doesn't care. And he has all the respect and all the love from me because I got to know him personally.
Yeah.
And that cat, he's amazing. That's all I want to say. But anyway, so he was so cool that he started featuring me on songs that are considered classic Nugent songs that Derek St. Holmes used to sing.
Yeah, and Hey Baby. Reason, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the reasons, and I love, I'm a big fan of Derek. I mean, he's one of my
great
top
singer.
Five, six singers, man, of all time. He's amazing.
Yes.
And every time I get a chance to say that, I say it. I don't think he gets it, but I mean it with all love and all the respect. He's a great singer. But one of the reasons why I got the call was because we got on, our Ted got on the Kiss farewell tour back in 1999, 2000.
Yep.
That ended up being one of the longest tours ever. And Tommy
it's
Aldridge,
still happening.
I know. Exactly. And Tommy, who I had worked with, him and I hit it off so well. We fell in like, we fell in love. He's an amazing drummer. I really dig who he is too. So we're friends to this day. And he called one day and said, Marco, Ted might be looking for a new bass player. The cat that he's got is tied up doing some things. And there's an opportunity to get on the Kiss, their reunion, because it was all the cats. It was Peter, Chris, and Ace Frehley.
Yep.
And the boys, and Paul and Gene, of course. And so he got invited, and he needs a bass player. He needs a singer, a bass player that can sing, so he can sing some parts, you know. And which would be interesting. Absolutely. Within 5 minutes, Ted calls, you know. And his calls are like, arriba, 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 andale, andale, vamos,
vamos. Like you said, it could be refined a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. But to me, I love it all, man. I love every second of it, because he is, to me, he's a legendary cat that deserves all the respect from the industry. And he doesn't get it for whatever the reason, but I have it for him. And so he's calling, and that's how he introduced himself. Come on, amigo, la, 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 la. And I've got, you know, Tommy and I got this thing, and would you be into coming in and playing a few songs with us? And I said, absolutely. So we met at Mates, which is also a friend of ours owns that rehearsal place, Bobby, that Mates is world famous, man, historic. Yeah. So we met there. Let's just say we played for half an hour, and then he tells me, I'm hungry, man. You know where, you know, we can find some Mexican food, some steak food. And I said, yeah, absolutely, man. So went, had lunch, came back, played another half hour. And then he said, thank you, man. Sounds great. We'll call you. So I left. And I get the call. He says, Ted, you know, from his manager, from Doug. He says, Ted loves you, man. We're going on the road in a few months. Rehearsals are here. Da, da, da. We negotiated. The thing was done. Before you know it, I'm on the big stage. It was, it was great, man. It was a blast, man. So he started featuring me a little more and more and more, which is so cool, giving me a lot of respect and a lot of love. And I just went and I did the best job I could. But you're right. That's what catapulted me into, showcasing my singing stuff. And from that, it opened a lot of doors. And I got invited here, invited there. And that's how it is in this business, you know?
Yeah, and so, it's just been great.
That tour, bro, it was Skid Row.
I saw it.
Ted Nugent and Kiss. And it was mind-blowing.
That was my first Kiss concert. I was only 16 back
then.
So it was Skid Row, Ted Nugent, and Kiss. It was here in Kansas City at the Sandstone Amphitheater. Ted's played there many times. But yeah, that's a big-time memory for me 22 years ago. So yeah,
you were 16?
I was 16.
I think I was 20, 21.
Exactly. It was somewhere in there. Ted was like 30. So yeah, we've all gotten just a little older since then. No big deal. No one's counting. But okay, so this rhythm section is so nasty. You and Tommy Aldridge, okay, that you wind up forming Iconic. You released your album Second Skin. Iconic is awesome.
How
did this come about, man? Michael Sweet from Striper, freaking great. Joe Hoekstra, friend of the show from Whitesnake. Nathan Jones. How fun was this to put together, man? This was a great album. I thought
it was great, and I wish I could take get any credit, but I, you know, they call me and Frontiers called me, Mario, who is one of the big cats there at the label, and said, you know, Marco, this is during the pandemic when not a lot of stuff was going on.
Sure.
And so I was getting a lot of calls. Can you, can you collaborate here? Can we do this? Can you be part of this? And this is one of them. And Mario said, you know, Joe Hoekstra, and I went, and Nathan James, and I went, and Michael are working on writing some songs, and they're working with Alessandro De Vecchia, who's another talented, amazing, talented cat. And they have a handful of songs they're going to be finishing here soon. And we would like to have you would you be interested in playing the bass tracks, you know? But I was approached as a session guy, that's all. And I said, absolutely. So we negotiated, the deal was done. They send the contract, I sign it. And then they call me back shortly. He says, you know, by the way, we don't have a drummer. Do you have favorite drummers that you like to work with? You live in LA.
Well.
And you have all the numbers. And I went, well, you know. And I mean, I have a lot. And I could go down the list. I have a lot of favorite drummers. But when I heard the songs, I went, this is definitely Tommy, you know, Tommy's territory, Aldridge. And so I called him and we talked about the project. And I said, you know, this could be a lot of fun. Man, let's, you know, think about it. Call me back and then I'll hook you up with Frontiers. And he decided, yes, I want to do it. So then they negotiated, they did their deal. And before you know it, the album was done. So we didn't even see each other. I didn't see the guys.
Yeah.
But the music, when I went into the studio to record, I'm like going, wow. The singing, Michael and Nathan and Joel, it was on fire, man. And then Tommy, it was like, wow. So needless to say, pretty excited. Then we get the call. They're going to shoot some videos. So we finally get to meet. And I got to say, it was the coolest, one of the highlights of my career. It was the coolest experience hanging out with these cats, mature cats, legendary cats, talented, and the coolest, mellowest people, human beings on the planet. It was so cool that I'm looking forward to something happening with this, to be honest. And so stay tuned. That's all I can say.
I like that. I like the thought of that. So for those that are maybe over in Europe that are going to check out this interview and maybe haven't seen you yet, not to spoil the show, Marco, but when someone comes out and sees a Marco Mendoza show here and you got songs from this new album, you've got songs from a vast array of a career and solo work and work with other artists. What does someone expect when they come and see you? Just a nice little career spanning type deal. What do we got here?
Well, I'm working on doing that. Actually, there's been some proposals for me to do next year, a bigger in-depth look at my career spanning, you know, through the years. I've been in the business since 1935, right?
Yeah, I was just, let's see, let's check. Yep, that Wikipedia. Yeah, that's right. It's on the Wikipedia page. Yeah.
And I've been lucky enough and privileged enough to play with some pretty amazing bands, legendary music, artists, singers, guitar players, keyboard players, the whole thing. So as we're talking about doing something, some in-depth look at my career. But right now, it's a rock show, bro. We play anywhere between 90 minutes to 120 minutes. Sometimes when we're having a lot of fun, we'll do a two-hour show. And mainly, the purpose is to feature my music.
Of course.
But of course, a lot of people don't know my music. It's like spoon feeding, educating people. I play a couple of my songs. I say hello. And then I say, here's another song that I did with so-and-so, you know, and another song that I did with so-and-so. And then I do another couple of my songs. And pretty much that's what it is the whole evening. But I got to say, it's electric, man. Every time we play, there's some magic going on. Whether we're playing for 50 folks or hundreds or thousands, and we've done them all, the pandemic has kind of crushed the pre-sale ticket situation. So people are still apprehensive. The club owners and the venue owners, they get a little scared. So there's been a few of those. Lack of promotion, lack of marketing, la, la, la. But we're learning. I'm learning along the way, and I'm not afraid or ashamed to say that happens. But 90% of the time, we are playing in front of full venues and festivals and all that. And my music, I have to say, without sounding pretentious, so well received, bro. It's amazing. I just get chills. I'm going, every time I get off stage, I'm going, yes, this is why I started playing music, you know? So we're spoon feeding the audience. We're trying to train them to open their ears and open their hearts and open their eyes and consider my music, you know, and it's good music. The problem today is that we don't have the radio. We don't have the marketing and the promotion machines that we used to have back then, even 15 right. years ago. So you have to do it. You have to represent on stage, bro. You know, and social media, even social media, you have to maybe agree with me or not. It's so pounded with so much stuff now.
Right.
You have to dig through all kinds of stuff to see something, you know. So it consists of three guys. I'm doing a three piece right now for a lot of reasons. I would like to have four when the time comes. And it's we're going to get there. But right now you have three cats. I'm very lucky. I always get the best players I can get. They're young. They're hungry. They're on fire, man. And right now I have two cats from Croatia. Ivan Keller on guitar, who's killing it. And then Mario Lippo Glavitz on drums. And before that, I had, you know, Kyle Hughes and Tommy Gentry. And before that, I had Soren Anderson and Pino Liberti right. and Nicola, some Italian cat. A lot of great players. But the show consists of three guys getting out there, rocking out, having a good time, and giving you 110, 120% whenever possible. And we pull it off 99.9% of the time, you know. So it's pretty memorable stuff. I always insist on delivering some kind of message, positive, optimistic, uplifting, because we need that, bro. I really believe in my heart of hearts that we need that today. We're going through some dark times, and people are very pessimistic, and we fall into that dark hole. I think our job as entertainers, as musicians, if we have the opportunity, is to listen, guys, we're going to get through this. Just trust that we are going to get through this crap. Look at the end of the tunnel. There's a light right there, and let's follow through. Let's fill our heart with hope and move forward and do the best you can. So that's what it is. And I think these songs reflect that as well. You know, that's the message that's coming through. So you can expect a couple hours of a nice. Good time. I always get this thing. I always get this, Glenn. I'm not BSing. I always get Marco. I came in because I always do a meet and greet after, regardless of.
I was going to ask about that. That's yep.
He says, Marco, I came in. I was in the dumps. You know, my family and I have been having financial trouble, and I lost my job, and la la la, in a pandemic, and we got beat up. But thank you, because I'm walking away with a smile, man. And I'm walking away being, you know, there's with hope, you know.
Oh.
So not to be too deep, but that's what's going on. And so that fills my glass full again to keep going, you know. So
that's kind of what rock and roll is all about, man. That's what that's sort of what it's done for people all over the world. And so yeah, that's
for
amazing.
Years and years and years.
Yes.
To be able to let go for a couple hours and forget your troubles and just let go. Let the music take you to places where you wouldn't otherwise consider going, you know, if you let yep. yourself go. And I'm one of those guys that insists on having the audience participate. I'm just one of those guys. So I'm sorry.
You're sort of an enigmatic person. It's a natural fit. You're great at what you do. And I just want to make sure that everybody goes, you can get the album New Direction. It's on the website, marcomendoza.com. Okay.
Yes.
The marketing's been tremendous, because I get a lot of stuff in my email, Marco. And it was about right around May. I saw Marco Mendoza in the subject line, and I'm like, set that damn thing up right now. I got to have that. Trust me, the marketing department's doing a great job, because that stuff's out there, and you see that album cover, you see the yellow, you see the colors, you see your name, and it stands out. And I want people to make sure that they go and get the album right off your website, marcomendoza.com, and the website, the tour dates are all right there. So
yes.
What more could you ask for?
That's it. That's it, brother. Good job. Thank you, brother.
Oh, thank you so much, Marco. Best of luck. Hopefully we get you out here in the States one of these times and can meet up in person and say hello backstage. So hopefully that'll happen.
Yeah. So where are you? Are you New York, East Coast?
I'm in the Midwest here, Kansas City, Missouri.
Kansas City, Missouri. Nice. I dig that place, man.
You've been here a time or two, my friend. I've seen you around. I've seen you with Whitesnake here and Ted Nugent. So I got a history with you, my brother. So hey.
Most recently with I think we were there with the Daisies on the Kiss tour. Maybe 3-4 years ago or something like that. Yeah. We've been
the
around.
Daisies play here?
I believe so.
If that missed my radar, then I have. Let's see. Who was the publicist back then?
I know.
Chip Ruggieri. That's who I'll have. Yes.
But it might not
failed me.
It might not have been. No, it might not have been Kansas City, Missouri. It might have been St. Louis.
Oh, that could be. Because I know you guys played Nashville. You guys played Nashville on that tour, and I almost went to that. So there. I was a big Daisies fan. I got in on all that stuff. We had Doug on, we had John on, you. That's how I interviewed you the first time, my man. So best of luck. All this stuff, rock and roll is just a never-ending cycle of connectivity and positive energy. Thanks so much for being on the Road to Rock, my friend. And
my
we'll catch
pleasure,
up soon,
brother.
Man.
Please do. Peace,
Thank
brother.
You.